We all know today is Mother's Day, but do you know what day was it last Thursday? Anyone? Gabriel? Last Thursday, May the 10th, was Ascension Day. Happy Ascension Day! Ascension Day happens 40 days after Jesus resurrected, which is 40 days after Easter. And so Ascension Days always happen on a Thursday. In our Apostle Creed, refer to this day. He says, He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. However, Ascension Day was often being neglected. In society, there's no Ascension Day sale, there's no Ascension Day gift. Why? First of all, Ascension Day is different than Christmas. You know, Christmas we celebrate Jesus' birth. Easter we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from death. But Ascension Day sometimes it kind of feels like a downer because Jesus gone up to heaven and we felt like we are left behind. That's the first reason. And second reason, Ascension Day is. Some people at the back of their mind is wondering, does it really happen? Does Jesus actually just being lifted off, you know, from ground to heaven? You know, is that some kind of old myth that Christian, the early church, talk about? And is it Jesus ascended to heaven? Is it something that is historical or literal? That Jesus actually being lifted to heaven. And some people mocked that if Jesus was actually ascended to heaven, then Jesus would be the first cosmonaut in humanity. And second, if ascension did really happen, what does it mean to us? So this is what I want to address today. First of all, I want to affirm to you that ascension, according to the Bible, is really happened. It is literal, it is historical that Jesus ascended to heaven. Luke intended it to be an eyewitness event. As we read just now in the passage, Luke described it. He says, Jesus ascended to heaven before their very eyes. So the apostles at that time were the eyewitnesses. And they were looking, and Jesus disappeared from their sight. And after Jesus was gone, Luke described that they were looking intensely up into the sky. Although Gospel of Luke is the only gospel that describes of Jesus ascended to heaven. Other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, did not describe it. But according to the Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, according to the author of Hebrew, they all talk about Jesus ascended to heaven, taken to heaven. And currently, Jesus, our Lord, is seated at an exalted state in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. Peter, at Acts 2, he was preaching to a group of worshipers in the temple. He was preaching, he was selecting apostles to replace Judas, who betrayed Jesus. And he talked about that we need to find someone who can be witness of our Lord from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. And in 1 Peter, he described that this water saved you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand. So these are references that Peter himself, Apostle Peter, talk about Jesus being lifted in heaven. You see, when you really think about it, when Jesus go back to his Father, his Heavenly Father, he really did not need to kind of lift off from earth. But Jesus did that on a purpose. Jesus does not want to disappear from earth in secret, but he wants to do a public demonstration. Why? Because he wants to provide visible demonstration that he is gone forever, for good, until his second coming. You see, after Jesus resurrected from earth for 40 days, Jesus appeared to the disciples often, you know, in a meeting, at a meal, in the seesaw, you know. But after 40 days, Jesus wants to tell his disciples he is gone for good. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, I will believe in you. And then the disciples, everybody was sad, you know. Oh, when Jesus is leaving us, you know, they feel burdened, they feel sad, they feel discouraged, disappointed. But Jesus says, this is actually for your own good. He says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You see, Jesus says, when I'm gone, it's good for you. Because now I'm gone, my Holy Spirit will be with you every day, forever. So Jesus wants to do a visible and public demonstration that he is gone from his disciples for good, but his Spirit will be with his disciple forever after Pentecost. So what does the ascension mean to the church today? What does ascension mean to us now? Well, there are many significance. First of all, ascension means Jesus is seated up in a heavenly throne. Jesus is Lord. Ascension means Jesus is still taking control of this world from up above in heaven. And some theologians say ascension means that Jesus, being 100% human in flesh and blood, can go to heaven. That means we, all of us, have this hope, every one of us, in flesh and blood, in a reformed, glorified body, we can be in heaven too. But here today, I just want all of us to focus on the message that the angels, which Luke described as two men in bright white clothes, that talked to the disciples. In verse 11, it says, the angel, two men dressed in white stood beside the apostles. Verse 11, it says, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So the angel is talking to the apostles. First of all, Jesus will come again. Ascension, the most powerful message to us today is Jesus will come again. Do you believe Jesus will come again? If you believe that in your mind, do you act, do you behave as if he will come again one day? To the apostles, the angel says, they will not bring him back by just looking, stargazing into the sky. Your master, Jesus, has gone, and they must let him go. He will return in his own timing, in the same way. Notice this is not just the assurance from the angels. Actually, Jesus will come back one day. It's also a promise made by Jesus himself many, many times. In Luke 20, it says, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and in great glory. And in John 14, when Jesus is comforting the disciples in the Last Supper, telling them, I will be gone. And Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many places. I'm going to prepare for you. And when I prepare the place, I will come back, and you will be where I am. So Jesus himself promised many, many occasions that he will come back. This is one of the few promises Jesus has not fulfilled, is his second coming. And this is our greatest Christian hope, is to wait for Jesus' return. When he returned, according to the Apostle Creed, he will return to judge the living and the dead. The Apostle Paul encouraged Christians also with this hope, and he says, if our hope is just for this life, we are most to be pitied. You see, our hope is not just in this life. There are many disappointments, there are many pain and suffering in this world. But if our hope is just for this life, we'll be in despair. But Jesus' ascension and his promise that he will come back give us new perspective in our life today. That means pain and suffering are just temporal. They are not the final answer, not our final destiny. So we should live a life expecting, joyful expectation of Jesus, he will come back. Second, the angel's message implied that in the meantime, until Jesus come back, the apostles must go on the task on hand. They should continue to witness for Jesus Christ as his mandate, our mandate, and so should we. The angels address the apostles, men of Galilee. Men of Galilee, you are citizens of this earth. You have a job to do. It is the earth that you should preoccupy yourself, not the sky. Men of Galilee, they should snap out of nostalgia. Don't just linger on something that used to be. Oh, how I loved Jesus at the many, many months before. They should move on. There's a world out there to win for Jesus Christ. So the message of the angels is similar to us today. Men and women of Brampton, you have seen him go. Gone. You will see him come again. But between the going and the coming, there must be another. The Spirit must come. And with that, you must go. With the power of God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, to go into the world, to proclaim Him to the world. In our broken and suffering world, there are lots and lots for us to do. As we await the return of our Lord Jesus, every act of mercy, no matter how small, can be used by God to bring healing to a hurting world. And this is the message the angels remind the apostles. And that is the message the Spirit is asking we Christians to do today. I want to conclude today's message by reading a poem. This poem is taken from a Christmas card, and it can give us an eternal perspective of life, our life today. I intentionally do not put on a PowerPoint so that you can just focus your attention to the poem. I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. He said it was not for Him to take away, but for me to give up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole, and God said no. Her spirit is already whole. Her body is only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience, and God said no. He said that patience is the byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted, it is earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said no. He said He gives blessings. Happiness is up to me. I asked God to spare me pain, and God said no. He said I must grow on my own, but He will prune me in order to make me fruitful. I asked God if He loved me, and God said, yes. He gave me His only Son who died for me, and I will be in heaven someday because I believe. I asked God to help me love others as much as He loves me. And God said, finally, child, you get the idea. So what is your prayer? What is your prayer? How do you live this life in expectation, in preparation of the return of our Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, You have given us many, many blessings. Make us now be a blessing to the world around us. Help us to love others as You love us. And help us to proclaim this eternal and joyful hope of Your second coming to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray.